The Book Club at 91.7 on WVXU and WMUB. I'm Mark Purcell. He's already done it once with Hamlet, and now he's back with Romeo and or Juliet, a choosable path adventure by Ryan North, who is joining me on the phone from his home in Toronto. Ryan, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thank you for having me.
We'll go back to your first Choose Your Own Path Shakespeare book, To Be or Not to Be, That is the Adventure. I'm curious, why did you decide to take on the bard in this manner and make it a choosable adventure, even though you do point out in the beginning of Romeo and or Juliet here that it was actually the bard that stole from you?
I did. I like the egoism of saying, oh yeah, no, Shakespeare stole from me. I was there first. As a joke, for sure. But the story is, I was driving in my car, and there was a thing on the radio about how actors have all these soliloquies memorized. And I was thinking, I'm not an actor, but do I have any poetry memorized? Do I know anything off my head? Am I smart? Can I do this? And I was turning over Hamlet's To Be or Not to Be soliloquy in my head and thinking, To Be or Not to Be. Wow, that's sort of structured like a choice, almost like those old Choose Your Own Adventure books I read when I was a kid. And then my next thought was, oh my gosh, I have to write this.
You didn't think it would be dangerous? I mean, you know, you're talking about William Shakespeare here, Ryan.
Yeah, no, I was worried at first, because you think Shakespeare scholar, you think someone in a stuffy room, dusty, and they're going to be real mad when they find out what you're doing with Shakespeare. But the response of Atrigod, people have been very enthusiastic. They recognize that the original play still exists. I haven't destroyed all extant copies to replace it with my own version of the play. And it sort of reminds us that these plays were written as entertainment. There's something people went to go see for fun. They paid money to go see it. And when we study them in school, they kind of become homework, and you kind of lose that sense of fun. And hopefully by putting them in this second-person branching narrative, it becomes a bit more fun again. You get to see the joy of the story and also push in other crazy directions if you are so inclined.
I have to confess that after I read Romeo and or Juliet, I was curious how I could find what path William Shakespeare actually took through the book to steal the story of Romeo and Juliet. And I was clueless how I could follow it. Duh. You do mark the bard's original path through here. So if you want to read the Romeo and or Juliet version of William Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, you can follow it there. But is that something you thought was necessary to include at least that path that the bard took to copy you?
Yeah, it's fun because it gives you sort of a tour through the book, and you get the canonical storyline. Although I've warned a bunch of people, if you have a book report on Romeo and Juliet and you read Romeo and or Juliet by following the bard's path, don't do that. Don't think you're going to get a good mark.
No kidding. Well, the original To Be or Not to Be, That is the Adventure, that original one was Kickstarter's most funded publishing project when it launched in 2013. Mm-hmm. You thought that Kickstarter bid was something that was the only way you could do the book?
It was pretty much the only way. I mean, I think it's not a stretch to say that if I walk up to you and say, hey, I've got this Choose Your Own Path version of Shakespeare, do you want to publish it? Most people probably like, well, that's crazy, and the answer is no. But with Kickstarter, I could just bring it to people and say, hey, this is the crazy book I want to do. Do you want to make it? And it went really well, and we had this huge outpouring of support for it. And then when I wrote the sequel, it was much easier to go to a publisher and say, hey, I've written a crazy book like this. Do you want to publish it? By the way, there's precedent that people would like this sort of stuff, which helped a lot.
Right. Well, you are a comic artist, or best known as being a comic artist. Why did you decide to turn towards prose?
That's a good question.
Well, I'm just curious. It's kind of out of your realm a little bit, but still.
Yeah, I mean, most of what I do is writing, and I saw this sort of a different way of writing, although it is much different from comics. But the connection there is that all the endings are illustrated, and I got my artist friends to draw a picture for each of them. Because my hope was that when I read these books when I was a kid, and you reach an ending, and usually you died, I always felt like I was not that smart because I just lost at losing. I just lost at reading a book. It doesn't feel that good. But by putting the pictures in, it made it like an art gallery. You unlock this reward for getting to an ending. And so that, I thought that'd make it more fun and more exciting instead of just, you know, dying in a book all the time.
Well, shout out to some of your illustrator friends who contributed here, because the list is long. There, where did I read? Over 100 endings in Romeo and or Juliet?
Yeah, there's so many. Noel Stevenson did a cover for both books. He's amazing. Kate Beaton did the character illustration, which show up when you choose which character you want to play as. And also did double duty, because then all the artists knew what these people were supposed to look like. There's books within the book. I started with To Be or Not to Be, where you have the famous play within a play in Hamlet. And I thought, well, let's do a book within a book where you choose your way through a mini-adventure. And then with Romeo and or Juliet, there's actually two books within a book, because Juliet's out of the narrative for 42 hours when she's knocked out. And so when she's faking her own death, she has a dream, which is a Midsummer Night dream. She gets extra Shakespeare for your book reading dollar. And then when Romeo is banished to Mantua, he goes to the library and can pick up a book called Fair is Foul and or Foul is Fair, which is, of course, Macbeth, done again in your choosable format. There's lots in the book. I wrote a lot.
We're talking about Romeo and or Juliet, a choosable path adventure by Ryan North, who's on the phone with me here on the Book Club at 91.7. You can learn more about the book at our website, wvxu.org. And where did I read in the press release? There are over 40 quadrillion possible journeys for you to take in Romeo and or Juliet. Is that true?
This is true. We wrote a program to calculate them. Now, to be fair, a lot of these stories are going to be very similar. There's only 100 and so different endings. There's a lot of different ways to get there. Actually, technically, there's infinite possible stories, because there's a way to loop back to the beginning. So you can read this book for the rest of your life if you enjoy very familiar storylines.
Well, I can't say that I actually read the whole book. I mean, I went through the book and I followed the choosable path, you know, and I followed. I will tell you that I only got about four steps into my first choosable path before I was already at the end. So that was like, oh, cool, I'm done.
But, you You're done. Know, finished. You know, no need to read this book anymore.
But then I had to go by. I'm wondering if anybody else complained about trying to keep up with where they were going. Actually, it's not so much where I was going, it's where I'd been. So I'd be going from, say, 27 to 64. And, you know, sometimes it's like, you know, go back to where you were. It's like, well, God, where was I? What number was that? Did anybody else complain about having trouble finding their chosen path?
Oh, yeah, no, this is the joy of these books, is that when you make a choice, you think, well, I don't want to commit to this. So you stick your finger in to hold the page. And then before you know it, you've got a whole hand jammed into this book, marking a bunch of choices you might want to go back to.
You also take the storyline in different directions. I mean, where do you come up with the what-ifs, Ryan? Because, you know, where do you start in trying to begin to chart all the different paths? I mean, I was trying to figure out how you could... I just imagined a gymnasium floor full of Post-it notes, you know, pathing with different numbers on it. But how do you plan this out?
Yeah, no, I love that. That's a way cooler answer than what the truth is. I always picture this like, you know, in movies where you want to show someone crazy, you show they have a wall with a bunch of paper stuck to it and pieces of string between those pieces of paper.
Well, that's what I imagine.
And you look at that and say, oh, yeah, this person is clearly insane. And that's actually how these books used to be written 20 years ago, where you're trying to keep track of a branching narrative. It's complicated. I use computers. I use software that lets me put words in boxes and draw lines between those boxes. And so that let me handle, you know, the 100-plus different endings when you track where they are. It became this weird process where I knew, by trying to find a certain part of the story, I remember where it was in the story, but also where spatially it was on my map.
Hmm.
It was like, I think, you know, when Romeo and Juliet came up, I think that's in the lower right-hand corner. It's somewhere there. So I sort of searched through that. It was a fun writing experience, for sure.
So why did you decide to make Juliet buff? Building her muscles.
The muscles. Yeah. It was a struggle at first, because Romeo's character is very easy. He's the guy who's in love with love. And there, you've got it. You've got Romeo. But Juliet's a bit more of a cipher. And once I realized that if you told her story like her parents have been controlling her life up to now, the whole thing with Romeo makes way more sense, because he's not just the first guy she's fallen for, he's the first guy ever. And she's yeah. so into him. And so if she's a homebody, if her parents control her whole life, like locking the castle all the day, of course she'd, you know, lift weights, build her body to pass the time. What else are you going to do? And I like the idea. I hadn't seen a buff Juliet before, and I like the idea of a Juliet that can solve her problems with muscles in parallel to how Romeo solves his problems by sweet-talking his way out of them as much as possible. Sometimes it doesn't work, and he dies.
Well, I have to say the one of the paths I chose was when Juliet had a little free time, so she went down to the kitchen to help out and was helping the maids loosen the jar lids, and just so she'd have something to do tomorrow, she would tighten some of the jar lids on so that she could come back. I just lost it. I mean, where do you dream up these little, you know, when you're going down all these multiple paths? I mean, how can you keep your narrative going?
Yeah, it's funny because I've never written a straight prose novel. So I have the same question, but how do actual authors do it with just one story? Because for me, when I'm writing, whenever there's a choice, I get to explore both the choices or all the choices if there's more than two. And when I'm done, sort of keep the ones that I like, cut the ones I didn't. So it's much more an exploratory process thing, like what could happen here? What could be crazy? Let's just do it and see how it goes. Well, if you're writing a straight prose novel, you've only got one story and there's no choices in it. So you have to get it perfect at every point along the way. It sounds like a real challenge.
Romeo and or Juliet, a choosable path adventure by Ryan North here on the Book Club at 91.7. Well, any advice for people who are reading this? Because as I said, I let's just say, okay, I may not have read the entire book, but I have read the book at least a dozen times, Ryan. It's a different story every time.
Yeah. I mean, you can't tell when you've read the book, right? Because there's, unless you mark every page you've been on, which people have done, it's very hard to know when you finished. Which I really like. I like the idea that this book can sort of sit around and still have surprises for you 10 years down the road. There's always a bit more you haven't seen yet.
I think I made myself impatient with, you know, that first one only being three or four stops along the way, because then if it got any longer than that, I was just getting bored and I went, I'll try another one to go. Maybe I'll be Romeo this time. But
well, I can give you a tip. If you follow Shakespeare's path all the way through, follow the little hearts, you unlock a new character, a third character to play as. Secret characters.
Oh, I have to look into that. Yeah. Well, obviously, there was a good response for To Be or Not To Be. That is the adventure, that first choosable path adventure that you and Shakespeare wrote together. But I'm wondering, you know, how has the response been, and what do people respond the most to? I mean, are they like me going, you know, how can I finish this book? I finished this book like Stop and Smoke, like Twain said, I've done it 100 times.
No, the response has been great. A lot of people, I feel like with the first book, I reached the online universe. People, I do a lot of work online, people knew about it there. But with Romeo and or Juliet being in actual bookstores and being out there in the world, you're reaching people who have never heard of To Be or Not To Be, never heard of me before, but they just like the concept of the book. And that's great. You reach people who are picking up the book and saying, like, oh, this is really cool. I don't know who you are or anything about you, but I like your work. And that's terrific to hear. Like, that's the greatest compliment of all.
So tell me about your love of Shakespeare. I mean, well, you know, in this last couple of minutes we have to talk about, I'm curious where that love of Shakespeare came from. As you mentioned, you know, we are sometimes forced to study them, and it kind of makes it dry if you're not, you know, exploring on your own. But I'm curious, you know, where your love of the Bard came from.
It started with my high school English teachers. We did, I think the first play we did was Romeo and Juliet, and then we did Macbeth the next year and Hamlet in the last year. And by the time Hamlet came around, I was fully on board. I was like, this Shakespeare guy, he knows his stuff. Hold the front page. Shakespeare's pretty good. But it was funny because I never really liked Romeo and Juliet the first time I read it. I almost said played it the first time I read it, because I never liked the ending. I found it very frustrating. It's a very frustrating ending for sure, because Romeo finds Juliet there dead, or apparently dead, kills himself. Juliet wakes up, sees Romeo's dead, kills herself. Sorry for spoiling the 400-year-old play. But I
should have said,
right?
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. But I think I was writing this book, one of the first things I had in mind was, well, what if we fix this? What if we had an ending where Romeo delays for 5 minutes to just buy some flowers? So when he shows up, Juliet wakes up, and it's a happy ending. And I say fix, I don't literally mean I'm the guy here to fix Shakespeare. But when you're playing the characters and you're making their decisions, you really want them to have a happy ending. And I wanted them to have at least one ending that was what they wanted to happen, to give them that happy ending that Romeo and Juliet really wanted for each other.
Well, I have to say I enjoyed the many endings I've had already in reading your book and look forward to the rest of the endings, too.
Thank you. There's plenty of them there for you.
Well, thank you, Ryan North, author of Romeo and/or Juliet, A Choosable Path Adventure by Ryan North and William Shakespeare, and you, because you decide what happens next, not to mention all the artists who made some great illustrations. So really, there's a lot of credit to go around here, and that doesn't even mention the editors, designers, and typesetters, all of whom do important work that goes unacknowledged all too often. That book, Romeo and/or Juliet, available where books are sold. You can learn more about it at WVXU.org. This is the Book Club at 91.7.